It's just day. It's momentous time that we live in. And I would like to speak this morning of things that are near and dear to my heart. And I believe and hope that I'm going to have something to say for almost everybody that's here at least. And hope nobody feels left out if I do sort of concentrate in one direction. But I don't. It's not going to be that way, I don't believe. Of course, maybe I don't know what I'm going to say myself. My wife tried desperately to find out last night what I was going to say. And she didn't have any luck. Might have been because I didn't know myself. No, I don't think that is quite true. I worked up at Bob's yesterday and told him that when I left that I need to get home and look up a few scriptures. And you know, particularly one that I wanted, I didn't find, even though I looked desperately for it. It could be that it isn't there. There are sometimes things that you feel like ought to be scriptures that may not really be there. I think I've already lost my place. I will look for it later. For the three little babies, the three little children, and for their parents, and their grandparents, and to the parents and grandparents of other children that are here today, and some that are not here today. I was looking for that scripture that said something to the effect of spare the rod and spoil a child. And I thought that was a scriptural reference. I've heard it for years and years and years. But I didn't find it, so I don't know whether it is or not. If it isn't, maybe I'll just put it in my book. We also know of some songs that we used to sing about school days, good old olden rule days, and reading and writing and arithmetic, got to the tune of a hickory stick. Now, I don't mean that I'm going to really want to get a stick and start beating on any of these little babies. But there is a teaching of little ones. And sometimes it requires a little bit of what I'm going to call capital punishment. I don't mean death. I mean getting with it to straighten out. I don't think the hand is the thing to use. I don't think the hickory stick is the thing to use. There's a little limber piece of peach tree that as Ray Petrie refers to as peach tree tea that sometimes gets attention when needs be. And I think up till now you probably are getting an idea that I am really going to plan on beating on these little kids. And that is not my desire in the least way at all. But my desire is that you teach these little ones in a manner that they don't require capital punishment. And when do you start to teach? When do they start to learn? Well, I'm also thinking of a song that this naughty lady that was so bad that had the whole town in a whirl or something, and she was only 9 days old. Things does start pretty early. And even the youngest of the three little teeny wee ones that are here this morning responded to a little bit of cuddling by Alan. When she got just a little bit upset, she responded, she's already learning. They learn as wee little. Don't think you're going to wait till they're 5 years old to start teaching them. Not even till they're 1 year old. They start learning before they get out of the hospital. They learn as they wah-wah-wah enough that they probably will get some food or maybe some dry britches or whatever they need. It is an awesome task that mothers take upon themselves to raise their children. And I don't mean to exclude the fathers. Some would think that maybe it's equal responsibility. Well, it's not all completely equal all the way. Father didn't give birth to the baby, that's the first place that was different. Though the father should always be available to strengthen, encourage, and help with the teachings. And as was alluded to earlier, the little children are what you make of the little children. They are a mirror of their parents. And if it was occasionally take a little bit of chastisement, or as I kind of jokingly refer to, capital punishment, to get their attention, then it has to be. But let's don't depend on that as the thing that we would use to discipline the children. Discipline. Oops. I looked it up in the dictionary last night. Maybe it was this morning. I guess it was this morning. It says, training that develops self-control, character, or efficiency. Second definition is the result of such training, orderly conduct. Three, submission to authority and control. Four, a particular system of rules or methods, as for a monastic order, whatever that is. I don't know, I didn't look that up, maybe I should have, but the submission to authority and control and the training or teaching to develop self-control. Now, how do we become good teachers? Well, it's a God-given instinct to reproduce, recreate, But the instinct to teach sometimes is a little bit lacking. The desire may be there, but the capability may be a little lacking. You have to first learn yourself, because they're going to be a mirror of you. My wife was a school teacher, and I guess when she went to school, she wasn't too red hot on this math. I heard that she wasn't. And when she began to teach, she went to her mother to get her to brush up a little bit so she would know more than the children did. And sometimes parents may find themselves in a position that if they're not careful, that the children know more than they do. And the parents should be ahead. Yes, and her Betty and her teachings. She told me all this. It's nothing new to her because she told me. I didn't know anything about it. But she went home at night and her mother would go over the next day's lesson so that she could teach it to the children. Well, the next year when she went to college, she made A's on her math, when before she just struggled to pass. But when she took it upon herself, the desire and determination to be able to teach, she improved her position considerably. Likewise, I feel now that these young parents, when they determine to be a model for their little ones, that they can in fact actually improve in their own behalf. Things that we say and things that we do are picked up very quickly. Even your thoughts seems to get transmitted to the little ones. You may spell words that you think the little ones don't understand when they're 4 or 5 years old, but they don't take long till they know what you're talking about, even if they can't spell the words. So I would like to exhort today the parents of the little ones that they look within themselves what they can do and should do to be a pattern that the little ones can be a mirror of. Oh, it's a natural instinct of mothers and fathers, but mothers, to defend their babies. That's true in the animal world, the same as in the human world. A mother cat will fight for her life before they let the little baby be killed by something else. Attacked a big old dog before they'd let the little one be gone. And human mothers are no different. So I don't have any fear that they will seek to take care of their physical well-being, but it's the spiritual well-being that I'm a little concerned with. No, I don't know what the concern is, the word I want to use. Interested in this morning. I remember that when my older sister had a child, as Elsie and Max, the two of them had the child, of course. Max was strong on smoking cigarettes almost continually. But you know, when that baby was born, to my knowledge, he never smoked another cigarette. He said that he didn't want that little darling to have to breathe in her lungs that cigarette smoke. I don't know how old Max is now. Elsie's been gone now for 8 years or so, I guess, 7 years. I don't know sure how long. I expect Max is close to 75 and pretty good health yet. I wouldn't say that everything that ever went within their family was what I would say was the most proper that was ever done. But that was one thing that he determined that he would not subject the little one to. Well, we're so much aware of the dope, narcotics, whatever, that's prevalent in the world that we're sort of braced against that. Hopefully we are, at least. But sometimes we may overlook some of what we consider as lesser problems of alcohol. And yet it's just as, I guess I can't say just as wrong, but it is wrong in the sight of God. And I don't believe, surely, that there's anyone that would want to see their child grow up participating in the use of alcohol. And if we do it ourselves, can we expect our child to do differently? I guess I'm being a little hard on the parents at the minute, but we got brand new little babies. We got a fresh start. We got a time to set forth from. Hopefully right today. Give it some serious thought. Raise the little ones with love. Don't tease the little ones to where they would be antagonistic. You see, people sometimes will tease little kids just to get their ire up. And that's not the way God would do. God doesn't tease us just to get our ire up. We may have a tendency to be on our ire up, if that's a good term, but it's not from God. That's from the Satan, who continuously seeks to destroy, seeks to tear down those things that God would have us to do. I do want to read a little bit from the Book of Mormon. Could read it from the Bible. Almost exactly the same words. It's a teaching that Christ gave to the people here on this continent. And the teachings he gave to the people on the old continent are the same, being recorded and translated. There may be a little variation in words, but the meanings are the same because it's one God overall. Behold, I have the commandments. You have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye cannot in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, and it is also written before you that you shall not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to the brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time he shall get thee, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost senine. And while you are in prison, can ye pay even one senine? Verily, verily, I say unto you, nay. Behold, it is written by them of old that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Behold, I give you a commandment that you shall suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that ye should deny yourselves of these things wherein ye will take up your cross than that ye should be cast into hell. It hath been written that whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever put away his wife, saying for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whoso shall marry her who is divorced, committeth adultery. And again is written, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. We are not to forswear in any manner. And that is one of the problems that we're apt to drift into, that we can't carry a conversation without swearing. If somebody asks you a question and your answer is yes, well, you may say hell yes. And if you don't want to be quite that bold, you may say, heck yes. And if you want to be a little more nicer about it yet, you might say, heaven yes, heaven's yes, or heaven's no, if it happened to be no. But what does the Scripture say? But verily, verily, I say unto you, swear not at all. Why not just yes? Why not just no? Do we need to say something? Well, if we want to make it a little stronger, we should say, yes, yes. The Spanish, I think their word for yes is sí, and sometimes they say sí, sí, when they really... there's a song, you know, that a man is proposing to the girl and says, when will you say sí, sí? You know, when will you marry me? In French, I think it's oui, or oui, oui. But what's wrong with this yes and no? How do I know how easy it is to get into it? Oh, I was in it. Don't worry. I've used words that I shouldn't. But verily I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, no heaven yes or heaven no, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither shall I swear by their head, because thou canst make one hair black or white. You know, as I was a young boy, there was a younger boy about my age, at least a little bit younger, in the neighborhood. And his father was a preacher. And apparently they had come upon this statement that you shouldn't swear by your head. So he used the word foot. He thought that was kind of cute, you know. Old foot, yes, or old foot, no. Couldn't just go with the yes and no. But let your communication be yea, yea, or yes, yes, nay, nay, or no, no. For whatsoever cometh of more than these are evil. So let's clean up our language. Let's don't be embarrassed when our two-year-old comes out with some language that everybody knows that they must have learned it at home, that the people don't think it. They use those words. I don't know whether I'm going to have time for my hour and 70 minutes sermon or not. But our language, simple little things like that, that we can fall into the habit of saying and feel like it's a little more, oh, I don't want to use manly or not, adult, I guess, a little more adult, that we use some adjectives in front of yes and no, and lots of other things, that when we really search ourselves, we know it's not quite right. And it's not by commandment, but this is commandment of God. These words here were said by Jesus Christ. And we don't use his name in vain either, do we? Or do we? I hope not. And I plead with you not to. Because we have a very valuable little bit of flesh and blood and bones that we love very much, and we want, I believe, I hope we want the very best for each one all throughout the life, not just as week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks old, but throughout life. Happiness, joy, and true happiness does not come from those things that it might appear to be, those things that are sinful. True happiness and joy come from the love of God. The love of God for us and the love of us for God. And then in turn, love for one another. And yes, Grandma and Grandpa, Let's be careful we don't cause problems. Let's help our children that they might guide their children in a way that is proper. Set down rules of what you expect of your little ones. Don't set down such stringent rules that you are going to have to beat them to death because they can't follow them. Set down rules that are reasonable and proper, and then make sure that they follow them. Oh, it's a big joke sometimes. Yeah, Grandma and Grandpa can spoil the kids and babies and let them go home, and then the kids can suffer with it. But don't do that. Help them. Don't impede them. It's not always the easy way out. Matter of fact, it's a little difficult sometimes. Because we set down a rule of what the little ones should do or shouldn't. And then when it comes time to make sure that they do it, they say, oh, well, they kind of laugh. And they go, oh, ain't they cute? But that cuteness, as they grow older, becomes more of an embarrassment and a problem. A little girl or a little boy of a year old that spits on the mother or some of the neighbor or something might look pretty cute, but when they're 16, they're doing that down at church or downtown or anywhere else, it's not cute at all. So realize that the things that you're teaching now is the building blocks of a human being, of an adult. Oh yes, we had a song this morning, our first one, that we had a little bit of out of key and a little bit out of time maybe by one of the young gentlemen of the church, but it didn't hurt anything. It would have been easier to have let someone else play the piano. It would have been easier to keep them at home. But the easy way is not the right way. The right way is to teach that which you know could be right. Oh, it's difficult. It gets very difficult at certain times. And it's difficult when you have teenage children that you're still having to shepherd in the right direction. And sometimes, many times, it'd be much easier to play like you didn't really see what went on or you didn't really know what was going on. Don't take the easy way. Take the right way. And by and large, the right way will be the easiest way. Because those temporary easy way outs only ends up in a horrible problem in the end. So even if I don't find the term of spare the rod and spoil the child, is that in the scriptures? Does anybody know? Joe, it is?
Not those exact words, but similar in Proverbs 23:13-14, talks about the rod. Also in Proverbs 13:24.
Well, then what I've listened to for years is not entirely straight. But I tell you, I looked through my concordance and I didn't find what I thought I was going to find. But it is well documented then in the scriptures, as well as in the understanding of us old fogies. That's the old fogies. How many of us old? I guess Norm is just a little bit older. Well, Blanche is a little bit older than I am, too. But other than that, then we get down to me and Betty as the old fogies in here. We can see where people have made mistakes. Maybe we can see where we've made mistakes. I know we can see, Betty and I can see where we've made mistakes. And maybe one of my biggest mistakes was to approach this subject this morning. But I hope not. Because I don't want to offend anyone. I only want to help. I want to extend my love and my hope for a very beautiful life for all the little ones and for their parents. Love you. Thank you.